Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 16 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And the Spirit himself, verse 16 says, "And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Then over in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart." And again, we said the number one way that the Holy Spirit will lead us is through the inward witness. Amen. Then we looked at the inward voice, which was the number two way that God, the Holy Spirit, will lead us. And then now we're looking tonight, we're going to start looking at the voice of the Holy Spirit. How many of you know the Holy Spirit has a voice?
Amen.
All right. I just want to clarify one thing that my wife brought to my attention. And that's simply this, that when I speak about number one way the Holy Spirit leads us, the number two way the Holy Spirit leads us, or the number way the Holy Spirit speaks to us, you know, you assume that everybody knows everything, and you know, you teach it so much, and a lot of and you think people are just on the same page, and oftentimes they're not, and a lot of times people aren't, and anyway, in this series, we're talking about being led by the Holy Spirit, all right, and so there are ways that the Holy Spirit will talk to us and lead us, but the number one way, the number one way God is going to speak to you is through his word.
Amen.
His word trumps everything else.
Amen.
Okay? So, and the reason I say that is it's simple. People have not developed their spirits enough to really depend on whether or not it is the Holy Spirit. And we're going to look, listen, talk about that a little bit tonight if we get that far. But as you continue, as we continue this, you'll learn that the leadings you get from the Holy Spirit should always line up with the Word of God. The Spirit and the Word are always in agreement. If it doesn't agree with the Word when you think you're being led by the Spirit, then you need to back up, regroup, and recheck yourself. Okay, so that's important. So as I minister along these lines of being led by the Spirit, never, ever, ever, ever forget the number one way God's going to talk to you is through His Word. Okay? And that'll usually bear witness with your spirit, okay? And as you renew your mind to the Word of God, as you fill yourself up with the Word of God, you'll start to be able to pick things out that you hear on television or you hear on the radio that are just not quite, you're listening to it and you're going, it's just not right. Sounds good. And you know, there was a guy years ago when we first got saved, I used to watch him on television, and I didn't know anything. I was just a baby Christian, and we were just saved, really. I don't think we were saved a year, and I used to watch this guy all the time. And I used to say, there's just something about this. And he's preaching the gospel, talking about Jesus and everything else. And just to come to find out, when I went to Bible school, and I just used to say, this guy is like, something isn't right. Something inside of me was saying, he isn't right. And come to find out, he wasn't. I don't even remember his name. Oh, yeah, Herbert W., as Brother Hagin would call him, Yo-Yo Armstrong. And I didn't know that. Yes, he did. That's okay. He's agreeing with me from heaven. But until I heard him talk about him, and that actually, basically, that was a cult. And I never realized that, but he'd get up and preach and preach and preach, and I'd be, because then after him came Kenneth Copeland. And then when Kenneth Copeland came on, it was like, whew, things are better, you know. But he was definitely off the mark. But my point is, your spirit knows these things. Once the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit and you're born again, you'll start to, don't ever, like, push that away, you know, because that is God speaking to you through that inward voice, all right? But anyway, tonight we want to talk about the third way the Holy Spirit leads us, and it's through the voice of the Holy Spirit, okay? Acts chapter 10, verse 19 says, "While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee," all right? And God leads us Like I said, but what we call the still small voice. But he also leads us by the voice of the Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God actually speaking to us. And in this third way, it's how do you tell the difference of this? It's really sometimes kind of hard to explain, but it's more authoritative is the only way I could say it. Like I had the sensing when I was listening to this one particular preacher on television that something wasn't right. But then when God was dealing with me to go to Bible school and I was riding in my car, it was as though the God was sitting in an audible voice speaking to me. It was so authoritative. It was totally different, all right? And you know that you know when that happens in your life, okay? So, and it seems so real, like it's just audible. It seems real. And some, and like I remember riding in the car, and that's just one time, riding in the car, like looking in the back, you know, in my heart. And I can almost back there. That's how audible it was. That's how real it was. That's how loud it was in my heart. And I can, on the only answer I could give back to God, hey, I'll do whatever you want. Convince my wife. You know, and I told the story. And you have to remember, too, in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, about Samuel. Samuel was a young boy, and he heard a voice call his name, Samuel, Samuel, come here. And he thought Eli, the priest, the high priest, was calling him, and he jumped out of bed, ran to Eli to find out what he wanted, and Eli said, I didn't call you. So Samuel went back to bed again. He hears a voice, Samuel, Samuel, again. He jumps out of bed, goes to Eli, and he goes, I didn't call you. I'm paraphrasing this, okay, just a little bit. And then it happened a third time. And finally, it dawned on Eli, the high priest, what was happening. And he said, the next time the Lord calls you, answer him. And if you read the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3, you'll find out that he did. And God was speaking to Samuel. Amen. All right, and he went on to be a prophet of God. Meetings are super. It was that loud that he thought somebody was calling him from the other room. And all of God's leadings are supernatural. However, they are not always spectacular. Okay? And I would say more often than not, they are not spectacular. Because what I've seen in going on 34 years in the ministry, people look for the spectacular. And God, not, you know, we kind of read the book of Acts, and we're not going to get that far tonight, but we see how Peter had a vision, Paul had a vision, the disciples had a vision, Zacharias in the temple wasn't sure if he had a vision, John the apostle had a vision, and we think, wow, visions are just going out left and right. Well, when you analyze that, actually, in the entire New Testament, you have 14 instances where the word vision is used. And out of those 14 instances, there's Peter, James, and John, Zacharias, Paul, Peter, and then John again. So you're talking seven people in 70 years or more of the time that the book of Acts was written, and Jesus walked with them, that they... Someone had a vision. And God, so God isn't, there's nothing wrong with, actually, there's no place in the Word of God that says that we, and I'm going to weigh it like I'm next week's sermon. It doesn't say that we should seek visions. We have one instance in the Word of God in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, where it says, your young men will see visions. They said, actually, shall have visions. All right, so, but people will seek visions, okay, and voices. I didn't get that far yet. Okay, let's go reel you back in. All right, but my point is all of God's leadings are supernatural. The smallest little leading that God will give you, it's supernatural, but that's not spectacular. And people always, I found out in 33 years of ministry, that when God moved in a spectacular way, and let me tell you, I can count on one finger the times that he did, all right, is when he was speaking to me, and it seemed audible, okay? And what I found out, it meant one of two things. One, I might not be listening real good in the first place. And number two, there might be rough sailing along the way. So usually that's when those types of things happen, all right? And to be perfectly honest with you, I wasn't really listening about going to Bible school. It was something I wanted to do. I thought it would be good. And then the other part was the smooth sailing part, and that was convincing my wife. You know, it wasn't always smooth sailing, okay? Even today, 34 years later, it's not always smooth sailing in the ministry. Amen? So you better know you heard God, because that's the only thing that keeps you from swaying off track, is knowing that God called you.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Okay? And so if he hadn't spoken spectacularly, people don't stay steady. They flounder back and forth. All right? And we have to judge everything through the Word of God. All right? There wasn't a verse of Scripture in there that says, Anthony Storino, go to Rhema Bible Training Center in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. I didn't even know where Broken Arrow, Oklahoma was. I'll never forget when I was getting ready to leave. I was in the office with my brother. He goes, where's the Bible school? I said, Broken Arrow. He goes, Broken Arrow? I go, yeah, it's near Broken Bow. You know, it's like, ever heard of anybody beside me? Now everybody's heard of Broken Arrow, but back then, was one street. Pew. You were gone. You were through it. Rhema Bible Training Center put Broken Arrow on the map. All right? The town literally built around that school over the years. But you have to prove it. So there's nothing in the Word of God, church, directly to go to Rhema. There's nothing in the Word of God that told me to come back and start a church. But I could judge all those things through the Word of God, because the Bible teaches that the Spirit of God and the Word of God always agree. And God showed me something in the Word of God when I was in my second year of Bible school, not knowing, I think it was at the end of the first year, just getting ready to go into the second year of Bible school. I didn't know what I loved Bible school. But the second year, you get to narrow it down and pick it like an area you want to go in. You know, whether you want to go into teaching ministry or evangelism or pastoring or the helps ministry. I'm thinking, I said, you got to fill out your application to let them know where you're going. And I'm going, I don't know where I'm going, you know. So I figured, I never thought that I was going to be a pastor. But something started happening. See, God started speaking to me about, I would go to churches. And actually, we went to Bobby Andean. He had Grace Fellowship. And I would go there. And on a Sunday morning, there'd be tongues and interpretation. And before the tongues and interpretation ever happened, I knew what they were. I never spoke out. And that used to, I used to think and go, what's that all about, you know? But every Sunday, so finally I asked him, I said, I don't quite understand this. And he knew we went to Raymond, my kids went to school there and everything. And the whole deal was, that was like, God was, when you look at tongues and interpretation, they primarily operate in the local church. So then God gave me another verse of Scripture, which I'll read to you. Just trying to help you, because a lot of times people, they don't know if it's God, they don't know if it's themselves or what. And I certainly didn't want to make a mistake going into the ministry. You know, and you always got to fall back to the ministry of helps. You can't get hurt there. You know what I'm saying? But sometimes if God has something for you to do, you need to know it. So as I was reading the Word of God one day, I went to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it talks about everybody being a member of the body of Christ. You know, we come down to verse 12, right on down. You get to verse 28, and it says this, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles. I knew I wasn't called to be an apostle. That I knew. There was no unction for an apostle at all. Secondarily, prophets. I'm not called to be a prophet, okay? Although I will get a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom for people, but I'm not primarily a prophet. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. And it's interesting because the miracles are the gift that follows the evangelist. A true evangelist that have miracles in their meetings. And so will the apostles. And then it says, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Now, the only thing that's not mentioned in that, what you have there are the fivefold ministry gifts. You have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher. But the word pastor isn't mentioned in that verse of Scripture, per se. But in that verse of Scripture, it says gifts of healing. And then it says helps. Administrations. And varieties of tongues. Now, administration simply means governments in the church. And what that's talking about, under the pastor, in the local church, you have the helps, you have governments, and you have diversity of tongues. And when I read that, it was like my spirit started doing flips inside of me because I knew now I had to go into the pastor's group at Rhema. Before that, I didn't know. I mean, you might as well give me a dartboard with the fivefold ministry on it and threw darts at it. And you understand what I'm saying? So it's important that everything lines up with the Word of God. And God will do that. The Word will, and you judge everything by the Word. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't judge anything by the Word. They just, whatever pops up sounds good. And they make mistakes for that. All right? In any time, again, I'll say it again till the day Jesus takes me home. When God speaks to you, it'll always be in line with the Word of God. Amen. People hear voices and gotten every kind of revelation under the sun. Some people are always claiming to hear voices. Bible's very specific about that. It says, don't seek voices. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10 says, there's many voices in the world, and none of them are without significance. The devil will talk to you, okay? You should judge these things in your own life. When you think it's God, you better judge it, man. See, because if you don't, you will get in trouble. You can judge whether spiritual experiences are right or wrong. How? By judging them through the Word of God. All right? And again, like I said, I've heard every kind of revelation that's out there. And I'll tell you what, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I don't care who they are, where they went to school, and how many letters they have after their name. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then I won't even listen to it. Because this is my rule. This is my standard. And this is what I go by. You know, we deal a lot with the recovery people upstairs, and they go by the big book. The big book is the AA book. They will live and die by the big book. Thank God there's a lot of Jesus in that big book. And when you hear things, my wife just brought something to my remembrance. Everything should be qualified by two or three witnesses from the Word of God. Everything. So I'm sharing those things with you because we're talking about being led by the Spirit of God. And it's not to confuse you, because the next step is people go, well, is it my spirit, is it my flesh, or is it the Holy Spirit? Well, that's a fair question. Because we've all been there, wondering, was it God? Was it me? Who, you know, what was this whole deal going on here? Well, again, I go back to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And some people ask, how can I know whether it's my own spirit or the Holy Spirit telling me to do something? Again, Proverbs chapter 20, you know. People say, but it just might be me wanting to do it. That's true. But what do you mean by me? Big question. If by me you mean your flesh, well, you can't depend on your flesh. I'll tell you that right now. You can't always obey your flesh. But if you mean me, the inward man, that still small voice prompting you to do something, that's the real you, then I would say it's pretty safe to obey your spirit. You say, why? Because your spirit is a new creature in Christ. All right? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have the life and nature of God in our spirit. Our spirit does not want to do anything wrong. So one of the things that I always look at is if, and again, it comes back to the conscience, because that's the voice of the human spirit. And if it's something my flesh wants, and I'm getting this little click in my conscience, then and you better listen to your conscience, because your spirit's trying to get to you. And it's not a complicated process. You'll know in an atomic second when something's wrong or something's right. How many of you ever figured, I'm going to go park in it? This might sound really stupid, okay? But you're going someplace and you're pulling up to Wawa. And all the spaces are taken. And that big blue space. And you're thinking, I'm only going to be a second. What are the chances? And something on the inside is saying, but you override because you're only going to be a second. You come in, you come out, and the cop's giving you a ticket. Okay? You know, signs say, do not park. You know what they mean? Do not park. If your spirit, if you park there and you're not getting an unction from the Holy Ghost that you shouldn't be parking there, then maybe you ought to check and see if you're saved. That's just one example, okay? But it's the truth. Many times I pulled up to Wawa, I'm thinking, dude, I got to park all the ways around the side. My flesh didn't want to park around the side. My flesh wanted to park in the handicapped parking spot. What are the chances? Now, I'm just going to say this, and I'm not pointing this at to anybody, so don't get... You really have violated your conscience. I got a parking spot. I don't get a lot of amenities, you know, but I do have a parking spot. And as of late, we had a problem with people parking my parking spot. Well, now there are new signs out there that says violators will be towed away at the owner's expense. My wife says people are going to get mad and leave the church. Then they need to grow up. It's my point, and that's really simple. You know, we have signs out there that says, please, no food or drink in the sanctuary. Thank you. On the other side of the door, it says, please, no food or drink in the sanctuary. Thank you. Every Thursday night, you can guarantee that people are going to bring food and drink into the sanctuary. So I put a sign up there. I said, no food or drink in the sanctuary. Plain and simple. Nobody brings it back. They don't get the please and thank you part. I just don't understand that. But anyway, getting back to the old parking spot out there. One of the recovery people upstairs just loves to park. You know what? You want to park there? I didn't really even mind him parking there, but he took up three spaces. So one day I came in here 8:30 in the morning. And I couldn't park. Happened to her, too. I went up there. I said, what part didn't you understand my wife was telling you the other day? Not to park there. Well, I was only going to be a minute. I says, yeah, and unfortunately, it was the minute I came. That's why we say no parking, because you never know when I'm going to show up. Does that make sense to anybody or what? Okay. Amen. But so I say that because you know right away. You're violating your conscience. Once you violate your conscience, you're on a slippery slope. At that point, you are ready to slide downhill in a minute. But if you're spirit-filled, your inward man has the Holy Spirit in its fullness, not in a measure, it's in fullness. You got all the Holy Ghost. You didn't get a little piece of it. You didn't get 25% now, and you're going to get 2% next week. You got all the Holy Ghost, you know, and he's making his home in you, so you could guide it. You know, it's not the inward man of the Christian that wants to do wrong in the first place. Like I said, it's the outward man that wants to do wrong. Your flesh wants to do wrong. Man, you ought to be able to tell whether it's your flesh wanting to do something or your spirit. 1 John chapter 3. I want to read. This is I've had, over the years, more questions on this verse of Scripture. But 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Now, that looks a little confusing on the beginning. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Amen. Well, that verse is Scripture, because I've had people come up to me and say, see, I can do what I want because I won't commit sin. You know, that's how Gnosticism started, because that verse of Scripture is talking about your spirit, your inward man. All right? Physically, you were born to human parents, all right? And we partake of their nature. And spiritually, we're born of God, and we partake of God's nature. God's nature is not the nature that wants to do wrong. God's nature wants to do right. Okay, listen, I've missed it in my life a lot of times as a Christian. I wish I could walk on water, but I try every summer. I don't make it, okay? But I've missed it, but my inward man didn't sin. My spirit didn't even agree with me. Hello? When you do miss it, when you do sin, your spirit don't agree. It gets grieved, actually. He tried to get, your spirit will try to get you not to do it. And but when you allow your flesh to dominate, you miss it. But my spirit never did consent to it in the first place. Why? Because God's seed is in my spirit. It cannot sin. I had a person one time, let me see if I can find this verse of Scripture. We almost got into a fist fight. These were in the early days of ministry. Holy. I don't know if I could find it. Anyway, it talked about your spirit. And when you read it, it sounds as though your spirit can be dirty. But when you don't rightly divide the word of God, people get confused. And although it was talking about spirit, it wasn't talking about your spirit. It was really, when you studied it out and you took it apart, it was talking about your mind. So yeah, you could have a dirty mind. Doesn't make your spirit dirty. Your spirit can't sin. It just cannot sin. God lives there. God had to leave Jesus on the throne, on the cross, when he poured all his sin on his spirit, because God could not take residence in there. So the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, and there is no way your spirit can sin. but your flesh can. And if you will continue to allow your flesh to dominate you, you will continue to miss it. If you continue to let your natural mind dominate you and you don't get your mind renewed to the Word of God, you will continue to miss it. It's just the way it is. It's just the way it happens. You just can't help it. People say, well, I hear all kinds of things. You know, people come on and say, well, you know about someone. You know what? I'm not the judge and the jury. God is. All right? So if you got something to tell me about somebody, don't. But the thing about it is, the reason people do the same thing over and over again is because they don't renew their mind to the Word of God. You can't sit in there and tell me their spirit's enjoying what they're doing, because they're not. It's not. It should be convicting the snot out of you, making you feel bad. It should almost be bringing you to tears, but we override it, and then our conscience becomes seared. And it doesn't. After a while, it won't bother us anymore. That's why Paul said in Rome, he told them to do two things. Present your bodies, and second, they were to renew their minds. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, and then renew your mind. And until your mind is renewed to the Word of God, your flesh will and your unrenewed mind will dominate your spirit. Okay? They'll keep you at like a baby Christian. You know, when we talked growing up spiritually at the very beginning, the baby Christian? Well, if we constantly let our body and our flesh get its way, we'll never grow spiritually. We'll be, as Paul said, a carnal Christian. Now, I have to admit, every once in a while, it's good to have a fit of carnality. Just make sure you're still awake out there, okay? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he said, listen, I, brethren, cannot speak to you as unto spiritual. Let's go there and cardinal, even as babes in Christ, for yet you are not. Actually, let's go there and read it. Okay? And brethren, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you still are not able, for you are still carnal. For there is envy, strife, and division among you. Envy, strife, and division is carnality. When there's envy, strife, and division in your life, in your home, in your church, you're carnal. And you're a spiritual baby. Now, people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth anyway. All right? For where there is envy, strife, you are not carnal, behaving like men. For one says, I am of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. He goes, you're carnal. Because you're picking and choosing. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered. But who gives the increase? God. God. So we have, you know what? We have to, like, we're talking about carnal. He's yelling at them. And if you read the history of this whole thing, there was some major, major stuff going on at the church of Corinth. So he says, you walk as mere men. See, but when you get your mind renewed to the Word of God, then your mind will side with your spirit instead of your body. And then you two of them, your spirit through your mind, will control your body. Up until that time, your body's going to control you. Your mind and your body will control you. If you don't renew your mind, you keep filling it with garbage, then your mind is going to control your body. But if you fill your mind with the Word of God, your spirit and your mind will control your body. Not rocket science. It's pretty simple. So remember, your spirit will not tell you to do something wrong. Will not tell you to be arrogant. Will not tell you to be thick-headed. Can't think of the word. I had these words in my head before they went away. Obstinate. Some people are obstinate. Your spirit will tell you don't be obstinate. It'll, unless you override it. But it's not your spirit. If you're obstinate, I'll tell you right now, it's not your spirit. Okay? It's your flesh. Because your spirit's got the nature of God in it, the life of God in it. It has the love of God in it. Amen. Let's see, we're going to look at one more. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says this. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter. Oh, I love this. 2 Peter. I think we touched on this Sunday a little bit. Let's see. Let me get there. Second Peter, I love this. What happened here? Oh, see, we have great and precious promises, right? It says that we might be partakers of the divine nature. Listen, we have the divine nature on the inside of us, okay? Everyone, if you're born again, you have the divine nature on the inside of you. Doesn't mean you're partaking of the divine nature. Listen, I have a swimming pool in my backyard. I used it once. I was in it once last summer. I have a swimming pool, but I didn't partake of it. See, we have the divine nature. We have the nature of God living on the inside of us. But that don't mean everybody's partaking of the divine nature. Why aren't they partaking of the divine nature? Because they're being led by the flesh. And if you're led by the flesh, you're not going to be partakers of the divine nature. All right? The divine nature is not going to tell you to do something you shouldn't do. And I love this because I love this. I got to read it. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay? In his divine power has given us all things. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we'll end with this verse of scripture, okay? All things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Life means your natural life, and godly means your spiritual life. He's given you everything, okay? How? Through the knowledge of him who called you by glory and virtue. That's another way of saying by renewing your mind. All right, because it's by knowledge, epinosis. There's two words for knowledge, gnosis and epinosis. Gnosis is knowledge, and epinosis is intimate knowledge. See my wife? I have intimate knowledge of my wife, okay? Because we talk, we're together, we live together, we're in the same house together. So I have epinosis. I have gnosis, I know you from church. Do you understand? I don't have that intimate knowledge. And that verse is telling us who called you through intimate knowledge of Jesus. And the only way you get intimate knowledge of Jesus is by renewing your mind to the Word of God. Amen. Then all things that pertain to life and godliness will start coming your way. Let's go on just a little bit more. I lost my spot. Okay, there it is. And his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life of godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these You may be partakers of his divine nature. By what? By those promises that he's given to us. By renewing your mind to the word of God. By doing what's right in the eyes of God. Then these things start happening in your life. By starting to listen to what your spirit says. And not what your flesh says. Listen to me. My flesh did not want to play the guitar tonight. I was here from 9 o'clock this morning. Left here 5:15, went home and changed. You think I wanted to come back here and preach? And play the guitar? My flesh didn't want to. My flesh wanted to sit home and watch television. But the divine nature on the inside of me said, let's go, buddy. Remember when God spoke to you in an audible voice, driving down a road in South Jersey to go to Bible school? Mm-hmm. Get the picture? Because unless you're solidified in this stuff, it's easy to say, well, I just think I won't come tonight. I won't come to church Sunday. Got too many things I'm doing. I'm too tired. Stayed up late. Just the flesh. Sorry. Amen. I remember many, many years ago. Has to be over 20-some years ago. It was a Saturday night. And the person who went to church here went into labor. That it wasn't going to the hospital, pop, out comes the baby. Baby, what do they call a baby when it's not, what do they call premature. I was going to say immature. Premature. Premature death scenario. Saturday night. Never forget it as long as I live. Jersey Shore Hospital. 2:30 in the morning. We were there till sunlight. And that baby was born, had tubes coming all through him. And I knew, I wanted to go home to sleep. But it was Sunday morning. And I had to come and preach. You know what? The best part of those things are, sometimes they're the best sermons you ever preach. Really. And today that baby is 20-some years old and big. A bruiser. But so you got to just, God just gives you the strength. You know, people say, well, we're here cleaning up because we, you know, we got to get our offices all cleaned up and stuff. So there's a lot of work there. And my wife and a couple other women, man, they working. I mean, they work. They all stayed here till after 5 and left and went home. And all of them are sitting in church tonight. And I couldn't even be mad at them if they said no. Because that's their commitment. They're not going to let their flesh rule them. Paul says, my spirit man, I keep my flesh in subjection. Shut up, flesh. If you want to stop something, if the desire to serve God is greater than to do what you're doing wrong, then you'll stop. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, honey. I got to get behind. I'm playing. What are you singing? Okay.
Let's stand up.